God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our life, and our salvation.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another, keeping silence for reflection and self-examination.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
For the peace of the whole world, for
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal three in one, and we praise your power, majestic one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith, defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first reading is from Isaiah, the 6th chapter. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. One called to the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook as the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 29 responsively with me. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon's cedar like a calf, and Syrian like a wild ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all say, "Glory."
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned in his kingdom forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. The second reading is from Romans, the 8th chapter. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put the death to deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adaptation. When we cry, "Abba, Father," it is the very Spirit hearing witness that our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The third chapter. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, You are a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I have told you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. You might know this next verse, and you're welcome to recite it with me or read it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is most certainly the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated, which, allowing you to sit down, that is also gospel. So here we are, Trinity Sunday. So Trinity Sunday is the last day that we get to see anything other than green for a while. Terry and Randy are very happy for that they get to keep those colors the same for a while. It's the Sunday that we celebrate our having figured out God. This is it. This is the Sunday. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? We've got it. It's the Sunday that we celebrate being able to explain all God and all of God's enormity and complexity and power and might. We've got it, right? The Sunday that we celebrate our triune God, our God the Father, our God the Son, our God the Holy Spirit, our God the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer, and it's simple, right? So simple. We've got it. An infinite God boxed in. Or maybe perhaps triangled in, Trinity? Get it? Man, it's going to be a long sermon. An infinite God now confined to our finite understanding of our mortal, human, simple minds. This is, in fact, what Trinity Sunday is for, right? Perhaps not. Perhaps not. Marty's like, yeah, it is. No, it's not. What? I'm confused. I think you'll understand. N.T. Wright is a theologian, and he's a former Anglican bishop, and he gives a brilliant explanation as to why we celebrate Trinity Sunday and why this concept of Trinity even matters to begin with. He says this, in the church's year, Trinity Sunday is the day when we stand back. And he explains all of the things we've been through the last 5 months. He says, we've celebrated Advent and Christmas and Epiphany and Lent and Good Friday and Easter and Ascension and Pentecost. And now we're here. We get to take a breath. We rub the sleep from our eyes and we discover what the word God might actually mean. So the events of these past 5 months function as a sequence of well-aimed hammer blows to knock down the clay jars of the gods that we want. Man, I should have brought in some clay jars and a hammer today. Anyway, the gods who reinforce our own pride and prejudice until they fall away and reveal instead a very different God, a dangerous God, a subversive God, a God who comes to us like a blind beggar with wounds in his hands, a God who comes to us in wind and fire, in bread and wine, in flesh and blood, a God who says, "You did not choose me, I chose you." I will say it again. Many, many times in this sermon. In fact, "You did not choose me," God says, "I chose you." Our God says again, "You did not choose me, I chose you." That's right, God chooses us. Now just allow that for a moment. Don't trip. Allow that for a moment to wash over you. Being chosen by God. In our baptisms, we did not claim God. We did not lay claim to God. God laid claim to us. In Trinity Sunday, this is when, as N.T. Wright tells us, is a Sunday when we take a step back, but not too far back or you will trip. When we take a step back and take in the enormity and the magnificence and the power and the might of our God and recognize that this God, our God, chose us. This God chose you. This God chose the prophet Isaiah. And in his vision, he said, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty. Does everyone know what a hem is? All the young ones over here, maybe they may not know. The hem of God's robe. So the hem, it goes from about right there to right there. The hem of God's robe filled the entire temple. The hem of his robe filled the entire temple in this vision. This is an immense and an infinite God. This is a God who chose Isaiah, the God who chose us, the God who chose you. Listen to the power of this God in the words of the psalmist today. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of God thunders. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Now I know that I preach very loudly at times, right? But I cannot imagine my voice doing anything to a tree, right? It's not going to break a cedar in half, but the voice of God splinters them like they're just mere toothpicks. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire, kind of like that fire-breathing Holy Spirit dragon from last week. You remember that Holy Spirit dragon? The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forests bare. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood, kind of like, you know, that flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. This mighty and powerful God, this is the God that chose us, that chose you. And we hear this in Paul's letter to the Romans. When we cry, "Abba, Father," that is the very Spirit bearing witness with our own spirits, right? The Spirit of God is bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Heirs, we know this word. It means that we have an inheritance, and our inheritance is eternal life. We are the adopted children of God. God chose us, chose you. From John's gospel, indeed, says Jesus, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. We are not condemned, we are saved, and you are saved because God chose us and God chose you. Are you getting it? I'm going to keep saying it anyway. Allow this to once again wash over you. There is a God, our God, whose hem of God's robe, this little bitty part from like there to there, it fills the entire temple, if we were to call this a temple, the entirety of the hem fills this space. And this God chose us. And this God speaks and creation moves. And this God has made us God's very own children, joint heirs with Christ. And this God loves us so much that he gave his only son so that we, his adopted children, may not die but live. This God, our God, has chosen us. This God, our God, claims us. This God claims us. We do not claim this God. We cannot claim this God. We can only proclaim this God. Let me say it again. We cannot claim this God. We can only proclaim this God. We can only proclaim our God, chosen to proclaim God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one who creates, redeems, and sustains. And now you're sitting here, you're like, but Sean, we pay you to proclaim. That's your job. You're the pastor. You're the preacher. The preacher proclaims, right? Proclamation is your thing. Meh. Yes, and allow me again to refer to Wright's musings on the Trinity. He says this, you see, the doctrine of the Trinity, properly understood, is as much a way of saying we don't know as a way of saying we do know. To say that the true God is three in one is to recognize that if there is a God, then, of course, we shouldn't expect him to fit neatly into our little categories, maybe our little triangle. If he did, he wouldn't be God at all, merely a God we might perhaps have wanted. The Trinity is not something that a clever theologian comes up with as a result of hours spent in the theological laboratory, after which he or she returns to announce that they've got God all worked out and figured out now. The analysis is complete, and here is God laid out neatly on this slab. The only time they laid God out on a slab, he rose again 3 days afterwards. We needn't give long dissertations on Trinitarian theology. This is me talking again, as if we could triangle in our infinite God anyway. No, our proclamation is simple. The only time that we try to put God on a slab, God rose again after 3 days. Our proclamation is Jesus Christ crucified and risen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him may not die but live. God has chosen us. God has claimed us that we may announce and proclaim God's love in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you're still saying, but Sean, you're the preacher, it's your job to proclaim, and I'm afraid of public speaking, I'm afraid of going up to people and saying, but Jesus Christ died for you, I have bad news. I have really bad news, actually. You are called to proclaim. You are called to proclaim. But I also have good news. I have very good news. We proclaim the love of God, the love of God in Jesus Christ in both word and deed. Yeah, I let you off the hook on this one. I let you off the hook. It's not just us proclaiming in word, it's word and deed. Chosen and claimed to proclaim God's love in and to the world, to those who desperately need to hear that they too are chosen and claimed and loved by God. Because why? If we don't tell them, how will they know? If we do not go out to the world and tell people that they are loved by God, how will they know? Let me ask you a question. Who told you? Who told you? Who told you that you were loved by God? If we do not tell them, how will they know? We are here because someone or many someones proclaimed this good news to us that God loves us. And if preaching sermons is not your thing and knocking on doors is not your thing, me either on that second one and actually some Sundays on that first one, how about love? Is love your thing? Is love your thing? We have been claimed and chosen to love. We have been loved by God to love. Henry Nouwen, he's a contemplative Catholic priest. It's okay, guys, that he's Catholic. He says this, discipleship, which is giving expression to God's love, takes many forms. Some people have an indignant love. They see injustice and they immediately go to it. Others have a very gentle love. They radiate welcoming. Wherever they are, they create community. There are others with quiet love. That's not me. They have quiet love that is very hidden. These are all forms of love which each have their very own way. God's love is so rich and broad that it takes many people. And now I'm going to interject myself here. I would say that it takes all people to make God's love visible. Nouwen says the many forms of love support each other. It takes all people for this world to see and experience God's infinite spectrum of love. You and I have been called, claimed to proclaim. We have been loved to love. But how? But how? Not in the same way, I would argue, because that would be boring. That would be boring, and this world needs many kinds of love, and it would be incomplete. How are we collectively called to love? And here is how I will show you, demonstrate to you, that we are all claimed as communities of faith to love differently. This next part of the sermon, I had to write two different parts. One for St. Paul North Robinson and one for here, because collectively, you all don't do the same things, right? You all don't do the same things. You have been loved to love differently. So here at First Lutheran, this Saturday, we will be proclaiming God's love for our community with Safety Day, a day for young and old and everyone in between. We are saying God loves you. And it manifests in us providing resources to allow for our neighbors to live safe and healthy and better lives by connecting them to resources and organizations that also communicate God's love by their very nature and being. We love you, is what we're saying. Here's a meal. Come and gather and eat because we love you and God loves you. Can we help you learn to knit or crochet? This is what we say to some of the folks out at Mill Creek Nursing Home. We love you. Or perhaps here is a shawl made to help you feel and remember our love for you and God's love for you. Whatever it is that you're going through right now, we love you. And we have been called and claimed to proclaim this love. But we don't just love as St. Paul, as First Lutheran, as separate, as communities of faith, do we? Right? We don't. We spend most of our time out in this world with God's people as individuals apart from this community of faith. We're shaped and formed by this community of faith, but we live out in the world. And you and I have been claimed to proclaim, loved to love. How are we, how are you individually called to love the neighbor within the rush and the chaos and the imperfection of yourself and the messy beauty of yourself throughout our daily lives? And I have another piece of bad news for you today. I can't answer that question for you. So sorry. I wish it were that easy. And even then, to faithfully live into this proclamation, to live into this calling to love, if I want to answer that question for myself, I actually just can't answer that question for myself, can I? I must enter into dialogue with the one who has claimed me to proclaim, the one who has loved me to love. That is to say a prayer, or to enter into prayer, to enter into dialogue with an immense and an infinite God of the universe. Because this immense, infinite God of the universe wants to know me and to love me, wants to talk to me, wants to pull me into relationship with God's very own self. Wow. What are you calling me to, God? That we get to ask such an enormous, complex, powerful, mighty, filling the temple with the hem of his robe, cedar-shattering, creation-moving God, this question in the first place, whenever we want, wherever we want. What an incredible, incredible gift this is. Wow. Allow me to conclude again with N.T. Wright. The doctrine of the Trinity is, if you like, a signpost, pointing ahead into the dark, saying, trust me, follow me. My love will keep you safe. Or perhaps better, the doctrine of the Trinity is a signpost pointing into a light which gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter until we are dazzled and blinded by that light. But which says, come and I will make you children of the light. And that's maybe the problem with our God. We are called into that God, and our God is so bright that our God blinds us with our God's mystery, our God's enormity, and we can't fully understand or comprehend this God, but we know when we are immersed in this light that we are loved by this God. We are claimed to proclaim, we are loved to love. For that I say, thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
Please join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into heaven. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Are there any additional prayers that we would like to add this morning to our prayers of intercession?
Heidi.
Heidi?
Peggy.
Peggy. Okay. So we will be praying for the family of Daryl Gates. Any other prayers this morning?
Jane, Walt, and Walt and Linda.
Walt and Linda and Jane. Let us pray.
We come before the triune God to pray for our communities, ourselves, and for our world.
God, our parent and protector, you have brought us into your family, claiming us as beloved children. Bless your family of faith with gifts of cooperation and graciousness, that we may see the gifts of our siblings of our other faith communities have to offer to your creation. We especially lift the sister church in our Lutheran partnership, St. Paul Lutheran Church, as well as praying for Peace Lutheran, St. John's Lutheran, and Trinity Lutheran as they continue to discern and navigate their future. We also pray this day for the Galleon Area Ministerial Association and other shared ministries such as Cooperative Christian Services of Galleon, as together we work to serve our neighbors in love. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Give your blessings of peace to the nations. Shelter all who risk life and livelihood to protect others from violence, conflict, and injustice, including first responders and military personnel. We give thanks for all who have served in the military with the hope of bringing peace to this earth, and in doing so, put themselves in harm's way. On this Memorial Day weekend, we remember those who have lost their lives in war and conflict. As a nation, let us remember that those who do return from conflict return forever changed, with wounds that never fully heal, physical, emotional, spiritual. Destigmatize conversations that acknowledge this truth and move policymakers to enact laws that provide a lifetime of care for our servicemen and women and their families. Merciful God,
your love and power burst forth in the flashes of lightning, the dance of the wind, and deeply rooted trees of the forest. Sustain fragile and interconnected ecosystems that they flourish for generations to come. Provide favorable weather for local farmers and gardens so that tilling and planting may be completed. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. God, you are a God of love and not of condemnation. Quiet the hearts of all who struggle with shame, regret, or questions of self-worth. Teach us to forgive ourselves and for one another. Restore wholeness to all who seek hope and healing. We pray especially for this day, for the family and the friends of Daryl Gates. We pray for Jean, Mary Beth, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Tony, David, Ed, Pastor Tim, Peggy, Bobby, Nancy, Caleb, Jim, Robert, Tony, Karen, Bill, Linda, Wilma. We pray for Walt and Linda and Jane, and for those that we name aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Strengthen bonds between parents, children, and families of all varieties. Thank you for the gifts of parents, grandparents, and all caregivers. Comfort those who grieve family relationships, the death of parents, children, and siblings, and those who find themselves estranged from loved ones or in strained relationships. Allow space for healing and forgiveness, opening the way for restoration and reconciliation. We pray especially for adoptive and foster families, multi-generational households, and blended families. Grant gifts of nurture and patience to all caregivers. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Today we especially lift to you Brody, who is graduating. May he have a bright future ahead of him, and walk with him as he navigates the days, weeks, months, and years ahead. We also pray for the success of Spring Safety Day, that it may touch those in our community who have need of the resources that are offered on this day. We also pray for all of First Lutheran's ministries, that we may be loved to love. Receive our prayers, O God, and come quickly to our aid through the power of the Spirit and the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. Time we will continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body and life for the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God. You reveal your glory as the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, equal in majesty, undivided in splendor. One Lord, one God, ever to be adored in your eternal glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is God. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast and grace our table with your presence.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread and raise us up in the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love.
Come, Holy Spirit.
With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
It's
our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord is full of majesty, and we are invited to meet our God in the simple elements of bread and of wine. Come, all are always welcome at the Lord's table.
beloved Christ.
Amen.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray.
Amen. Now please stand for the announcements. Just kidding. I got somebody. Yay.
my gosh, I'm going to get in trouble for that. All right. Let's see. So, Good Hope Lutheran Church, I ran into Pastor Tansy. She told on you all. She said none of you called her to offer to host anybody. If you are willing to do that, if that's how you are loved to love, then please give Pastor Tansy a call and consider hosting a family, or not a family, a young, you know, a high schooler or a young college person. But if you can't do that, at the very least, there is a wonderful concert that is happening on June 11th at 7 p.m. Safety Day. Do we have any Safety Day announcements? Mom of Safety Day.
Nope.
Your Safety Day, Mana. Are we good?
We're good.
Is there candy back in the bucket?
I don't know if there's candy back in the bucket.
Well, that's all right. Well, anyway, so let me just encourage you. Well, thank you for everyone who's been involved or will be involved. And I would encourage you to stop out at Safety Day. It's going to be at Ark Church on Saturday from 1 to 4. Take a look at the insert. And there are lots of different community organizations that are going to be there. I'm sure that one or more could perhaps be of benefit to you. But if not, just stop out and say hi. And let's see, or jump in a bouncy house. I hear there's a bouncy house. Yeah, jump in a bouncy house. Yeah, what are you thinking about? You jumping in a bouncy house or me? Anyway, okay, we'll move on. Obviously, on Memorial Day, we do want to lift up our veterans, and especially our veterans who have given everything including their lives for the sake of freedom around this world. So any veterans in here, maybe raise your hand or stand or however you would like to do that. Thank you. Thank you all for that. And speaking of Memorial Day, there's a parade tomorrow. If you want to see me acting like an idiot in a parade, come on out. We'll all be there. So check that out as well. So any other announcements this morning? Seeing and hearing none, please stand in body or in spirit for a blessing. And now may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord's face shine upon us with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon us with favor and give us peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him.
This is most certainly the good news of Jesus Christ, so go, share this good news to the world.
Thanks be to God.